I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade.
Welcome to the T Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. Well, that statement's kind of a lie for this podcast. In this podcast, I'm bringing in B-Lo. B-Lo and I go way back. We've been friends for a better part of a decade. B-Lo is a lot like me. He's a funny guy, has a lot of opinions. Sometimes he's off the wall, batshit fucking crazy. And every now and then I'm going to bring him into the show and he's going to be my co-host. So finally, without further ado, the T Podcast now has a co-host. That man's name on the podcast is B-Lo, and the two of us, just shooting the shit, we're going to entertain the hell out of you. So, listen to this podcast, to the shenanigans of both T and B-Lo. Thank you. Is that vodka straight up?
Yeah, well, my specialties are vodka, and I drink them 75% vodka, 25% soda water, unless I drink it and it tastes like a mixed drink where you can do 75% Tito's, let's say, and then add in some Deep Eddy Lemon and then some Stoli Blue, and you put all that together and it tastes like a vodka soda, but it's straight vodka. You should try it.
I don't do vodka. I told you, vodka is something that college girls drink in between the white wine and when they're doing fireball shots. Grown men don't drink vodka.
I don't drink Fireball. I drink Jack Fire. And I can't drink whiskey because whiskey makes me violent.
You're already violent, so it doesn't even matter.
I am not. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I just want to make a note that you are drinking, and it's like 15 minutes past noon.
It's not like... So who cares? Like, why do people judge when what time people drink? Are you only allowed to drink after 5 p.m.?
Well, that says something about the person. When the individual starts drinking early in the day, it means that they don't have the mindset or the capabilities to get through the day sober.
No.
What do you think it means to start drinking early? What does that do for you? It takes the edge off nice and early.
No. Well, I'm drinking because I have to take the edge off to talk to you.
You have to take the edge off to talk to me.
It's not vodka. It's water.
I don't know, dude. Now I think it's vodka. Anyway, we'll just get right into the whole just talking. I'll get that long-winded introduction out of the fucking way. I'm T, you're B-Lo. We have a long history, and that could get going on the show right now, just how you started off just by boozing, and here we are now shooting the shit.
We can sit talking about our weeks. That's what I like to do with you. You know, you'll be like my weekend. I'll be like your weekend boyfriend.
Yeah, I look forward to having you as my weekend boyfriend. You are actually probably my daily boyfriend if I had one. You're my heterosexual life mate. That's what you are.
Can you handle that much of a commitment?
No, I can't. You know I can't handle... You've known me for the better part of what? 11 years now? 12 years almost? I can't handle almost any commitment.
Yeah, I know. You couldn't even commit to a time to meet, to talk.
You motherfucker. I couldn't commit to a time? Really?
Yeah.
Let me level set everyone what we had to go through to fucking record today. Right now, he's supposed to be moving a ton of fucking wood.
Which I already moved it.
He's injury prone because of the things that he does on his own. And I was on hold today to do the podcast because he just told me, no, I don't know what time. I can't commit to a time. I'm moving a ton of wood. And then I'll let you know when I'm back. I go, can you ballpark it? Couldn't even get a ballpark. He was confused. That's why he's B-Lo.
I don't know how long it's going to take to move a ton of wood.
I don't know
what about that.
What are you doing with a ton of wood? Can you share that? Like, what is your brother doing with a ton of wood? What are you doing? You building a fucking gazebo?
That violates your rules of anonymity, because then people can put together that somebody's working with a ton of wood and what they're doing. They're going to be able to identify who we are because of that. So we have to move on from that topic.
They don't know where you live. They don't know where you purchased the wood. They don't know where the wood went. So nobody could figure that out.
Well, you came up with all these rules and now I'm paranoid. I have to have vodka to learn how to deal with your rules.
There is no wood rules. Respect the wood. There's no wood rules.
It's actually pretty good. He's doing a wood floor.
Okay. So yeah, we get into that a little bit. I mean, that's not another word revealing about being a homeowner, and sometimes you need work to be done. That's why I still live in the city and refuse to buy a home, because I can't commit to putting that work in like I can't commit to any women that I continue to rent, and because I don't want that headache. You know me. I create my own headaches. I don't like when other people create headaches for me. Therefore, I want to keep it very systematic. I'm very routine, and Bilo's very routine too. We're going to get into that in a little bit, because it's the way he is. He's almost too routine, and I'll talk about his little nuances of OCD and how you can't step into his home. And you can't touch anything.
People do come and they're afraid to touch things.
They're afraid to sit
down, but it's good. Yeah, maybe someday I can have you talk to some of those people.
I will love to, because I want to get more into your mind.
Listen, I like things to be clean and neat. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's something wrong with that. You have an extreme phobia. You have OCD to the extreme.
No, I don't have an extreme. It's not a phobia. It's not like I lock myself in the house. I just like things to be neat, clean, and organized, and have everything pristine.
Hold on. You don't lock yourself in the house. Where do you go to work every day?
You can't discuss that.
I can discuss that. You are work from home. We don't say what you do. You don't say what I do. I go into an office every day. You work from home because you can't socialize and interact with the rest of the world because you're too fucking nuts.
No, I have an office that I go to as well.
No, you don't.
It just happens to be in my house.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not that I don't go to work because I can't socialize. It's go to work because I've elevated myself to the point where I can conduct all my business from the comforts of my home.
So before we get into the whole, I want to get into that grocery bomb that you dropped early in the week to me. Before we do that, OCD, Bilo works out a lot, just like me.
Bomb.
I want to get into the grocery store, what he does with his OCD. So I never asked you, as somebody goes to the gym every day and, you know, people sweat, they touch things, everybody does the wipe down with the towel. What do you do? How do you do, like, people that don't wipe down? So forget about the other people, whether they're dirty pigs or they fucking clean up after themselves. What do you do when you go to lay down on the bench? Is there a routine? Do you have to wipe it down? Do you bring your wipes, your famous wipes? What do you do?
No. The gym has, I use the spray. So what I do is I'll get a paper towel before, you know, I get some paper towels from the little machine. And I've even learned how to trick it so I can get more out of it than those little sheets that they give you. You have to pull 100. So then I spray it on the paper towel, and then I wipe it down. Then I put it on the ground. I work out. I get up. I go get another paper towel, spray it, and wipe it down. I wipe before I get on and wipe before I get off. Just like I wash my hands before and after I go to the bathroom. See, that's a big one. People don't realize that. The most important time to wash your hands is before, because I know where my hands have been. I said that wrong. See?
No. See, we're going to go with this. You know where your hands have. You don't know where your hands
are.
No. You should know where your hands have been.
No, I wash my hands before I use the restroom because I know where my dick has been. I just don't know where my hands have been because I've touched things out there. But I do wash my hands like 7,000 times a day. So I know that they're mostly clean. So yeah, no, you wash your hands before you go to the bathroom, before you touch yourself and your skin. Not that I have to touch myself to pee. I just kind of pull it out and let things come out. And then I wash my hands after. But yeah, to go back to the gym, no, I wipe down before and after. And then when I'm done working out, I will use the hand sanitizer and wipe my hands and wipe my phone and wipe my bottle. But most of the time I throw my bottle away. But sometimes
a little bit
that's my drinking.
A little bit that's breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit. That's going to win a lose that part of the story.
Oh, I wonder if it's because they're playing Xbox.
Go on, plug.
Don't want to.
I don't have anything running.
Okay.
All right, so you wipe down before and after you go to the bathroom. You wipe down before and after you something to the gym.
No, I wash my hands before I go to the bathroom, not wipe down. I don't need to wipe myself down. I know where I've been.
Speaking of wipes, do we want to get into that conversation? Because you're not the only one, so I can't, like I said, that part, the gym stuff is a little extreme. We're going to get into the grocery shop and what you do. But the wipes, there are two types of people in this world that I'm coming to find out, besides dirty motherfuckers aside. The clean people that go to the bathroom. There are those that, you know, you do a number two, you take a shit, you use toilet paper. That's the pretty much the norm.
3 years old, you have to do a number two.
I said number two and take a shit. I'm just covering for both, you know, you never know, because some people get very sensitive. So people who use toilet paper, that's the majority of the world. And then there are people now, this movement, I've seen it grow throughout the years, and I just found out recently you're one of them, and you actually showed me a video that you use wipes, baby wipes, to wipe your ass. You keep the wipes behind your toilet, on top of the toilet, behind you, and I obviously have the toilet paper to the side, and you are one of the people that find it more beneficial to use baby wipes on your ass.
Yes, because you get clean. So you can wipe yourself with toilet paper, and then if there's anything large and in charge, off and out. And then you go and you use the baby wipes and you keep wiping until you're clean. There's nothing wrong with that. It takes just as much effort. It's just as much work, but you're also cleaner. What do? Wipe your ass with toilet paper, pull your pants up, and then just have shit stains all day?
There's no shit stains because you check the toilet paper to make sure there's no shit there. So there's no shit stains. So toilet paper was invented for that reason.
So you wipe, and how much toilet paper do you use? And do you chafe your ass because it's dry? Use a nice moist towel to clean up all your skin.
Depending on the type of shit, bowel movement, for those people out there, again, sensitive by my words, you wet the toilet paper. You could reach over to the sink and you wet the toilet paper.
So it's much more convenient to pull off toilet paper, turn on your faucet, get it wet, go wipe your ass, and repeat. Or just pick up a diaper wipe and wipe your ass and call it a day.
I'm not saying that it's so much convenient. Is that is the norm in the bathroom.
Define norm.
It's like, that toilet
normal
paper.
To who? Normal to who?
Baby wipes were invented for babies. You know that. Toilet paper was invented for grown adults.
So what's the difference between a baby's ass and your ass that why you can't use a baby wipe? Like, I really don't understand this.
Babies are more sensitive and it's somebody else wiping their ass for them. You need the baby wipes to make life a little easier. You're not going to hold the kid up fucking by his legs and fucking let me roll out some toilet paper and wipe the little fucker's ass down.
So you're going to roll out some toilet paper on your ass? So what happens if it's not clean the first time? You're going to sit there, reach over to my left, pull off a roll of toilet paper, turn on the faucet. You're going to get up and possibly get stuff all over the place because you have to, like, get up to turn on the water, don't you?
I lean over. Sink is right there. They're both in arm distance. Toilet paper to the left, sink to the right. You just pass over the toilet paper.
I don't understand that. You talk about being a busy guy. Why don't you cut down some of the time and just get some diaper wipes and wipe? You should try it. You should actually try it. Give yourself a week. Go to Target, buy the 3-pack. That will last you probably a couple months. And start using diaper wipes. You will be converted.
Maybe I will.
I really don't understand. I don't understand the logic of wetting toilet paper to wipe my ass. Or just using diaper wipes.
You did that for a number of years before you started the baby wipes. When did you put the baby wipes system into play?
I put the baby wipe system in, Jesus, when I first started interacting with babies.
So the first baby you saw, the first baby's ass that you wiped, you're like, hey, this will feel pretty fucking good on my ass, too.
I came up with some nice logic saying, if I can wipe and clean a baby's ass efficiently with diaper wipes, why don't I wipe my own? And hence it started.
I will eventually try that. Maybe when I'm in the new place, because I don't have time right now. I will go out. I will get...
Well, I don't understand this. You don't make any sense. Like, really think about this. You have time to take off toilet paper, turn on the water, rinse it, squeeze it out a little bit maybe because it's going to be too wet. And what does the toilet paper get soggy and rip in your hand? Like, think about this. Or do you use paper towels?
There's a technique to wetting the toilet paper that you don't soak it.
I want to see this technique. So next time you need to take your computer into the bathroom, pretend you're sitting on it. I don't really want to see you go. And let me see you go through this process. And I will do the same. I will take a diaper wipe off the back of the toilet, take it up, wipe my ass, make sure it's clean, maybe use a couple wipes, and I'm done.
I will absolutely share that with you. I'm not above not sharing that with you. Mind you, and I can share this with the audience, that you and I talk on the toilet every fucking morning anyway. Bilo and I have been doing this again, Snapchat for the youngins, we really don't, you know, use it for that reason. We created our own form of communication through Snapchat, where about, what was it, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we just started talking from the toilet. We would send snaps in filters, busting each other's balls, really offensive snaps. And we just got going with the whole B-low conversation and doing these filters. And we started coming up with these characters. And we just kept on doing this. And next thing you knew, we had like the streak going. All the kids love their streaks.
Oh, Harrow.
And like, that's one of the characters. And we did that for a while. And then we brought our other buddy in. And we'll figure out how to get him onto the show one day. But B-low and I, personally, we went 400 plus days of snapping each other from the toilet every morning. Until Snapchat fucked our streak up and took the streak away from us. And neither one of us missed it as much as
And then you got to be a little baby and decided that you did not want to snap anymore because they took your streak away.
It wasn't so much they took the streak away. It's because it was becoming insane that two grown men were shitting and snapping each other.
That's not what you said. It said, oh, these fuckers took my streak away. Therefore, I'm not going to play anymore.
No, if I recall, you were pissed too and you were mad about the streak. We both reached out to Snapchat about the streak.
I did not reach out to Snapchat. You did, number one. Number two, I said, oh, let's just start a new streak. So don't put things in my mouth.
Are you acting like I was the only one disappointed by a 400-plus day coming to an end?
I was disappointed to see the numbers disappear, but I didn't want to end my life over it like you did and said, let's
end my life. I don't think I took it that far. Anyway, anyone out there on Snapchat, I'd be interested to hear this. If you want to email or reach out to me, and obviously I'll just, you know, give you all that shit at the end of the show, how to get in touch. But reach out to the T Podcast. If you have the same system that we have, because we figured out that the Snapchat plus one, plus two, when you start doing a streak, isn't on 24-hour increments. I think we broke it down to like 26 and a half, 28 and a half hours, because that day and a half system, when we started the new streak, because we wanted to do the math this past Christmas, and we were supposed to have, I think, about 17 days right about now. I think
Hold
we're only
on. I'll tell you
days.
Me right now, but according to my calculations, because I did this extensively when we had our 400-day chat, it's about 8
and
days.
And I'm the one. I'm the only one that takes it personally. Look at him. He's fucking doing Goodwill Hunting
algorithms over there. I look at it. It's around 8 days. So we're at 15 days right now, and I'm going to send you a snap right now, because I sent you one earlier. You didn't open it. So maybe that's when it's going to change. So you should open it.
No, it changed for me when I snapped you this morning. I snapped you first. It became 15.
Oh, hello.
So it's saying 15 days, so do the math. What's the – I'll open up a calendar right in front of me. We started on Christmas.
December 25th, and I did read on the Snapchat website that they said it doesn't start by the 24-hour day, like at midnight. They actually calculate it based upon when the first snap was sent. Why don't you play these and see if it changes? Because now it's at 15.
And up until today, we're recording this on Saturday, January 12th. This morning, I sent you a snap. It flipped over to 15. We're supposed to have 18 days. I just
counted. Why don't you play the snap I just sent you and see if it flips to 16?
All right.
See, now pretend you're reaching behind you to get a wipe as you're reaching behind you to get your phone. I like this being able to see you.
I don't like that you could see me.
Why? You're getting old, man.
You're older than me.
You can settle down.
Can you hear that on the... And this is the stuff we sent. All right, so it still says 15 because I sent it all this morning. Once again, I was correct because this is why you're B-low and I'm intelligent. It clearly says 15. It did not do anything. I will record another one. Let's see if this goes back to you. I'm using a special filter that we use on here, and he'll know when he sees it that we'll do on the podcast one day and explain where this one came from. He's our own personal friendly filter.
Using a special filter.
You know what that one is. Sent it over to you, and it still says 15. Like I said, the increments ran over today to the 15. So far, Snapchat, once again, has screwed us 3 days.
That's yeah, it still says 15. Okay, so now let's do the math. You have December 25th.
I counted it. It's 18 days. It's supposed to be 18 to right now.
Yeah, it is. December 25th to December 31st is 6. The 12th is 18 days. And now it's 15. So if you do the math, it should be 18, which is 16. I told you 7 is 2. is 8. So 16, 18, there you go. It's 8 days is a week to Snapchat.
Like I said, it's off by that extra hour and it adds up.
It's like it's off by a day. Not an hour.
It's off. If you add up the hours, it goes on
about 28 hours. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I said earlier.
I told you I calculated this before.
You didn't calculate the hour. I calculated the hour because I'm far more superior than you when it comes to shit like this. Anyway, as we're doing this last week, this is where Beeler revealed to me another part of his OCD psychosis of how nuts he is, where he said to me, I now bring in groceries, and before I bring them into my home, before I put them away, the baby wipes that he's obsessed with at the gym and on his ass, he wipes down his groceries.
I don't use baby wipes. I use Clorox wipes. Get it straight. You can't put Clorox wipes on your ass. They'll burn.
You should try that. I hope you mix up your wipes, and one day you wipe your ass with Clorox.
Oh, it's very easy to distinguish between the two of them.
So tell people why you
I'll
do that.
No, what I do is I go to the grocery store. I bring the groceries in to the house. I put them on the floor. And as I take them out of the plastic bag to put them away, I wipe them down with Clorox wipes. So if it's a box of cereal, I take out the box of cereal. I wipe off the box of cereal, I'll put it all on the counter. And then when everything's on the counter, I'll put it away. The fruits and vegetables and such, I will wash and wipe down because you're supposed to do that anyway. But my favorite thing to actually wipe down, as I was talking to you about, is the Uncle Ben's Ready Rice bags. I eat rather healthy. I eat a lot of chicken and rice and vegetables and those things. But because those bags, you wipe them down. And then you fold out the little bottom and you like wipe down the inside the crack in the bottle. So I wipe everything down.
You open the box and you then wipe down the bag.
The bag. You know what the bags of the little orange bags of rice are?
I got a guy that does my meal prep. I don't buy rice. I buy toiletry and water. So that's all I buy.
Well, anyway, clean. You should talk to the guy who preps your food to make sure that he's clean. Those bags, they have like little folds in them. So I actually get into the little folds. You know, I wipe down my bottles of milk before I put it away. I even wipe down the egg carton before I put it away. And fruits and vegetables, I wash. Bags, I do always have like a bag of chips or something around because if I want to snack on something, which I don't do often, a bag of chips will last several weeks, I wipe them down.
So just like wiping your ass, that was fairly new, you started in a different place where you were using toilet paper. What made you all of a sudden start doing this? Because you were putting your groceries away all this time without wiping them down. What made you decide to do this? And what do you think will happen if you don't wipe them down? Do you think you'll die?
I remember the moment that I decided to do that. When I was in the grocery store. It was a Tuesday?
What was the moment?
I remember the moment. I saw this older person that was disheveled, hacking and coughing, and then sneeze over all of the section of, I think it was milk, because I wipe down my yogurt, so I buy the Icelandic yogurt and wipe it off and stuff. And they were like wiping their nose and their hands, and then picking up stuff and touching it. And I'm like, you know what?
That's nasty.
That shit is happening everywhere in the store. Not just that one person. This isn't like a one-time thing. It's happening over and over again. And I'm like, you know what? I need to wipe this stuff down because I don't want to get ill. So it's not like I've been doing this for years. I started this probably within the last year. Actually, probably within the last 6 months.
So, and if you – have you ever missed the time where you just – were in a rush and I put your groceries away where you did not wipe them down? Or like, have you been in that situation yet?
No.
No.
I'm never in that much of a rush where I can't wipe down the groceries.
You always make time to wipe down your groceries.
I always make time to wipe down the groceries. And I don't go grocery shopping then. I mean, I don't purchase that many groceries when I go grocery shopping because I go grocery shopping like every 3 days. I only get enough food outside of the non-perishables that may last a longer time, depending upon what's on sale. You know, I like to have fresh fruits and vegetables, and I will go to the store like every, 3 days or so. I mean, sometimes longer, but I get small doses, so it's easy for me to do. So it's not like I'm going with two shopping carts full of shit that I need to wipe down. I'm wiping down a couple bags that I have to carry up myself.
So besides revealing that to me and now saying it on the podcast, have people in your personal life seen you do this?
No, because I don't think I've ever gone grocery shopping with somebody. Everyone's aware that.
That's what I mean. One thing about you, you're as crazy as you are, because I've been around you and friends and your family and stuff. One thing about you, as crazy as you are, you don't hide it. So would you be embarrassed by anyone seeing you wipe down your groceries? Or is this something like, fuck it, this is who I am. Love me for the big, giant fucking B-lo that I am?
I don't hide anything. No. Why would I be embarrassed about that? People come here. They know that they can come here. They will always be immaculate. Right, I have everything in place, everything clean. I have my OCD, and this, everybody knows this. You should talk to Mary someday. She'll tell you about it. I have everything in place, you know, to the way that I put my pillows on my bed and how you have to fold the pillowcases over the end so you can't see the pillow sticking out, to where everything has to be seated on the table in the kitchen or the table in the living room. I like everything perfect. You can show up at this place any day, and you will see everything will always be dress right dress.
I've been in your place. I've been to the new place, but I've been in your place, and I know how you are. And that's not a lie. That is a true statement. We do see, you know, the way your house is set up. Again, you know, my house too. I'm kind of like that. I'm very OCD. Keep things clean too. I think you're a little bit more extreme, but I think coming into your home is allowing all of us into your mind. That is a gateway into your mind of what the fuck's going on in there. And I appreciate that every time I come into your mind, that I have to take my sneakers off. And the times that I come in and I tell you that my sneakers are clean and you yell at me because I literally don't, me being clean, I got different types of sneakers. The ones I wear to the gym, there's ones I walk to the office in, there's ones I wear around my place. They're pristine. But the moment I had to step from my brand new car to your sidewalk into your home and didn't take my sneakers off, brand new sneakers, I got yelled at several times.
Listen, the whole taking your sneakers off is, I'm going to explain this to you and how somebody put this in perspective to me. I've been doing that for, Jesus, 30 years, 20 years, a long time. I have indoor sneakers too, by the way.
Yes.
Like, you can only wear your shoes. Like, people get excited when they're here and they have a brand new pair of shoes because they're allowed to wear them in the house when they're brand new. Like, people, like, who know me and really know me, like, they're really proud that they can wear shoes and they can almost do it in front of me to taunt me, but I'm okay with it. But I do have indoor shoes that I wear that don't go anywhere. I do the same thing with my gym. I have gym sneakers. I have a lot of shoes. Like, people tell me, like, for a dude, I have a lot of shoes. I have a couple hundred pairs, maybe.
You there? You cut out.
How far did you get?
You had a lot of shoes.
Oh, I have a lot of shoes. I forget after that. Anyways, you can edit that out perfectly. Okay, so if you take this whole shoe concept and why you should take your shoes off when you go inside, which we'll talk about having indoor clothes and outdoor clothes too. Like, you can't sit on the bed with your outdoor clothes on. You have to change.
What were people doing outside that they can't lie in your bed? Where were they? Rolling around in the fucking dirt?
Go back to the shoes. We'll talk about that some other time.
All right, go ahead. Finish your shoe story.
You go outside. Look at the stuff that you step in, right? You step on dog shit. You step on oil through a parking lot. You step on a number of different things, people who spit. There's so many different things that you step on that you're going to take that stuff and you're going to carry that into your house. You're going to take that wad of gum that's in the bottom of your shoe that you may not know is there and walk across your floor. You're going to take that oil that's on there and walk across the floor. That dog shit that I stepped in as I walked outside, and now I wiped it off cleanly to the best of my ability. Now I walked into your place, and now the germs from that dog shit are on your floor. I lie down on my floor and do things. I don't want to lie in. Would you go roll around in a parking lot? Around in a parking lot? Okay, so why are you going to walk across the parking lot with your shoes and then take all that stuff off of your shoes? It's not like when you cross your threshold that those shoes are miraculously clean. Even if you have a mat that you wipe your feet on, that mat is going to eventually get built up with dirt.
So I get that. I hear what you're saying. No, that's, you're not rolling on the floor and you walk on a dirty sidewalk, but you're kind of aware of what's on the floor. Like, I know accidentally sometimes you step in dog shit or gum, but as you're walking, you're going to avoid if you see that shit. Obviously, you're not going to check the bottom of your shoes every time you walk into your place. but why are you rolling around on the floor inside your place?
I'm not saying I'm rolling around on the floor. I said I sit on the floor. I lay down on the floor for whatever reason, if I want to stretch or something else.
Okay.
Then I don't want to roll around on your dirt. So therefore, nobody will wear their shoes in the house.
So talk about...
I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. I will take you out.
Talk about the indoor-outdoor clothes. Why?
We'll save that for another time.
Well, I was hoping to get two podcasts out of this. I was hoping to get at least an hour and a half so I could cut up two 45-minute shows. You know, but I guess we'll just have to trim this down. I think the audience is going to want to hear more about what the fuck's going on in your head.
Well, they will over time. You have to tune in Tokyo. Remember that, Tune In Tokyo?
Oh, yeah.
You have to tune in. Put your arms up like this. Oh, Tune In Tokyo. Oh, hello. No, well, we can continue these conversations and, people will have to come back and listen again.
Well, we'll have them come back. I'll definitely have you back on real quick before we do this because people still talking about this. I did a review. I lumped that in one of the past podcasts about Bird Box. I know you saw it. People still talking about it. It was the most watched, most streamed Netflix movie yet. It beat out Bright, which you and I both like. Bright, the Will Smith movie about the ogres and orcs and all that, the fairies. I like that. What was your take on Bird Box?
I think Bird Box was a decent concept. And I want to talk about the marketing of that, too, after. Because I do a lot of reading. And I'm open to a lot of things I read as well, too. I don't just target certain types of things. But I think Bird Box, it was a lot of hype. I think it was had a good concept. They could have done it a lot better.
The crazy part is the hype didn't even come from Netflix. That was us. People on social media took that. And I think the memes started coming out the day. I think it came out like a couple days before Christmas. And a lot of people were saying, and you could talk about the marketing too, but they were talking about how that a lot of people watching it as a Christmas movie and families would gather around during Christmas and Netflix watching it together. But while that was all happening, those memes started hitting like Instagram, Twitter. And it wasn't – Netflix would just market if you turned on Netflix. It would be the first thing you saw. And they don't do commercials, obviously, things of that nature, but
I'm going to change something on that in a second. But to go back to it, I think the movie was a decent movie. I think it had a good concept. I think they should have done a lot more with it. I think that they took it a little bit too far with the whole like you were talking about with going down the water for 48 hours. Like – you try to do that for like 2 minutes and you're going to crash into the shore. Never mind the gun and someone trying to kill you and stab you. I understand the suspense. I understand a lot of that. But I think some things that add to a movie is the sense of realism. Like if you can make it, you can have this kind of could be real. I kind of believe it. Sure. Then I think it adds to it. But I think they had a good plot. They had a good story. I just think the execution was rather poor. But to go back to this marketing, which is one of the things that I was talking about, if you pay attention to this thing, and again, there's a lot of, I won't say conspiracy theorists, but a lot of people say that, you know, a lot of these memes and everything, the way they hit was actually derived from Netflix because it was a good way to get the advertising. You hit the stuff with the social, they don't have to pay for it, right? Yeah. They're cutting their costs down. And also Bird Box was the only movie, right, that they announced the figures on. Saying how many people have watched it, how many people have seen it. Netflix never, ever publishes, right? Or at least that I'm aware of or from everything that I've read that were credible sources. Netflix never publishes how many people are doing it, which actually may lead up to the fact that maybe they were trying to do a different thing to say, okay, let's get all these little memes out. Let's get people talking about it. Let's just start saying now, okay, well, 1/3 of the people who own Netflix already watched it so far. That is beautiful guerrilla marketing at no cost. How much does it cost for you to publish a meme about Bird Box? Then also on the flip side, put something in the media saying, okay, well, this many people have seen it, or this many people have done it. So to go with what your point is to the marketing, yes, all this stuff did come out around Christmas time. And then people now were targeting it as a Christmas movie, which I don't even understand why that's a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. That could be a whole other debate. But it takes a little bit more than one little person to send out a meme at this scale. You need several people to send out these memes at strategic times, strategic places for it to take off as fast as it did. I mean, things go by with this whole virus thing and stuff like that. But if you look at all the things that people were talking about with this Bird Box, it continued to progress. And some of the things to me were just the timing was genius, right? So I'm saying if they did do this as a marketing scheme, it was genius. I'm not even faulting them for it. If this is what they did, cut down the cost, and they did this marketing to the point where people have, you have to think of, you no longer have the advertising media that medium that you used to have. You used to have television. A lot of people don't watch television, right? Yeah, they had the previews at the movies. A lot of people don't go to the movies anymore, right? Why? Because you have a lot of people doing the cord cutting. You have a lot of people doing the internet. A lot of people spending time on Instagram. And I'm sorry to continue just rambling here. But taking and capitalizing on the way that people now absorb information, if it, even if it is through MMA.
Mimi.
Bit of a meme, a meme, whatever the heck you want to call it. Even if it is through a meme, to take the joke off, to get a little serious here. If you want to go through and then actually start using the memes and those types of things to come up with advertising, it's genius.
Well, you look at it, again, Bright, they released those numbers well after. Bird Box, the numbers came out around that time. And it was smart that they did it around, you know, Christmas, because people at home, college kids were on home, they're home, they're on break, they're on vacation, so they're going right to Netflix with their family, and they were just turning that on. And then obviously that generation of the millennials and Gen Z, they're the ones that make the memes, and they see something, you know, they found ways to get the blindfold image of them on the boat. They took the guy ripping back the old lady's head to open up her eyes, and those were coming out, you know, before people were even getting to the movie. Like, more memes were hitting. As opposed to people actually downloading the movie or going to watch on Netflix, they were basically saying that, you know, this is your advertising. This is free advertising, like you were saying, which this generation, you're right, they don't go to the movies anymore. They don't sit down and watch TV and commercials. And I mean, we don't either. When we DVR something or watch on demand, you fast forward to the commercial. So they took that. It was just perfect timing to have something. Let's launch a second original movie. You got another A-lister in Sandra Bullock. And they actually, at the same time, you're right, we never heard that with Bright. They came out saying this was downloaded, I think, 24, I mean, it was streamed 24 million times. And we never had those numbers with Bright. And this was basically saying that, you know, how do they do like a return on investment on that? How do they substantiate those 24 million views, those watches, to money or a budget that you can put into a movie? Netflix, their only way to, you know, monetize it is to get more subscribers. So there's no way they got 24 million people to watch Bird Box, and basically all of a sudden there was an uptick in subscribers because of Bird Box. They can't do that. They just know that they had something there because they had a lot of streams. Then they had a lot of memes that came out of it. A lot of people were talking about it, and that's their ROI. That's the return on investment. Basically, who is talking about our movie, then who's coming to Netflix to watch it? Because in a studio, or, you know, in a big budget movie, when you release to the movies, you know you got that ticket money, right? And the tickets could substantiate how much Avengers made at the movie theaters, because X amount of dollars was spent on tickets to go see it in movie theaters. Netflix changed up that dynamic. You're not paying to go to a movie. You're watching it at home. And you're already subscribed, so you're not adding any money to it. They just go by views. So they got to pretty much find a way to tie that into how many more subscribers do we get with original movies like Bird Box. And I think this is changing the game.
Now you look at, well, again, you go back to a number of things. And again, I don't have any of the information. I can only go with what I read and what I'm theorizing based upon what I know in the world and what I know from business and certain things of life. I forget the number that they did publish, right? But they did say a third of the people. But I also go back with what you're saying. This all came out around Christmas time. I would be shocked to find out that in general, the number of new subscribers, right, comes around the holidays, right? As far as people give you, because you can buy those subscriptions, you can get someone a couple months subscription for gifts and stuff like that. So if they, I'm telling you, if they didn't do this marketing, somebody else should, because they would have, I'm sure they did have a substantial uptick in subscribers, or, you know, the number of new subscribers, renewals, or whatever you may want to have around the holiday because of this type of stuff. And to say that, okay, well, now we can do these A-list type movies that you can now get on demand.
So with that, that is going to change what people see for Netflix. If those are the type of numbers they're getting and people are going to it, like Bright and Bird Box are two different types of movie. One is horror, one is more sci-fi fantasy. I think now, unlike, you know, you have preference on movies, I have preference on movies where people go to see, right? Let's just say somebody goes to see just comic book movies in movie theaters. These are two different types of genres. I think now, because people are talking about it in the hype, I think the hype alone, if you get an A-lister for a Netflix movie, regardless of genre, I think people are just going to watch it now. I think whether you're a college kid or somebody who's, you know, tuning in with their wife or their girlfriend at home, I think anything Netflix puts out now saying this is an original Netflix movie, regardless of genre, as long as the internet does their thing, it makes memes and advertises for them, I think people are going to tune in. As long as they can recognize one of the person's face, whether it's Will Smith or Sandra Bullock, I think what we're going to see now from Netflix is a lot more original movies, and I think they're going to always throw that out there. what people are seeing, these memes, and how do they rate it and all that. I think the internet itself and social media are going to be the ones that actually do the return on investment for Netflix.
When it's also free advertising.
Yeah. So, you know, but the movie itself.
Again, in Netflix point of view, I'm not going to talk about, you know, in all areas of, you know, where advertising occurs, but for Netflix to promote, okay, I'll use the word promotion. It's a good way for people to promote things. And on this note, I think my stay with you has to end for this week. But I look forward to doing this. Yeah, I have to go pee. So
we'll do this again. I'll try to break this up into a couple of those so people get to know who you are. And I think on the next one we'll record, we'll give you an opportunity to share any social media you like to share. It's totally up to you. Is there anything right now that you want to get out there to have people find you anywhere in the world, or do you want to save that for the next time we do this?
Well, we'll save that. I think what you can do is I look forward to doing this and sitting down and speaking with you regularly. I think we can change up the time too, because if you really want to have some fun, we'll have a couple drinks one night. I can talk to you about how I have virtual drinks with people. Again, if you want to go with my, oh, you don't know how to leave the house type thing. But we'll continue with that. And, you know, I don't mean to cough into the microphone, but we have lots of things we can talk about. And I bet you, you'd be surprised to find that a lot of people in this world are the same exact way. You know, there's more to life than what's in your little blogcast. What do you call this? Podcast? Blogcast?
Podcast. The blog is done, but T-Blog is still up there. But the podcast, because the, you know, T-Blog gives me the material to do these podcasts as well. I have source material.
And I'm going to challenge you to one thing, okay? One, we already talked about what we're going to do to edit these things up. But two, you know, we challenged with coming up with a podcast. I challenged within 6 months to come up with a vlogcast where we're going to start doing these on video.
We'll figure that out. We'll figure out the type of video with the thing we talked about. But yeah, in the meantime, we'll do this again, and I absolutely will take you up on the virtual drink, because I was drunk during the Festivus, and I think a lot of people like that. So a drunk T talking to a drunk Bilo, I think will add another dynamic to the way you and I talk to each other.
But it's a little different. You know, I just looked at you as a poor, sad guy drinking alone on Christmas. So I almost called suicide prevention, and I think I told you that at that time too. So, you know, at least if you're having a drink with me, it's social and not suicidal.
I wasn't sad. I was angry during the festive grievances. That's how those go. And that was fun drinking and doing that.
Well, you look at it your way. I look at it my way. And on that note, my friend, I'm going to go pee and then wipe down the toilet with Clorox wipes. Goodbye.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you.
All right. I hope you like that podcast with myself and Bilo shooting the shit. Soon enough, we'll have places to find Bilo on social media. In the meantime, where to find me? On Instagram. The_T_podcast for all the podcast related stuff. And T-Blog, T-B-L-A-W-G, all one word, for some amazing pics. I'm also on Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. You can email me. You have some questions for myself and Bilo that you liked about the show, that you didn't like, why we're so fucking crazy, things you want us to talk about, email me. And we'll get to it next time I have Bilo on the show. We'll talk about it. So you can email me at t@t-blog, B-L-A-W-G.com. You can message me on the Facebook page, following T-Blog. And of course, here on iTunes and the place that started it all, tblog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday. So I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about my conversations with Bilo as we talk about different topics throughout, and definitely reach out to us and we'll be on here. So as you know, we close this out. Until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, 'cause I'm a